3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, May 31st. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Artificial intelligence is having a moment now. But in 1993, one of the companies that's key to the growth of AI was just an idea being developed over a meal at the diner chain Denny's. Today, our semiconductors reporter Asa Fitch will join us to explain how the chipmaker NVIDIA, which reached the $1 trillion valuation this week, became so essential to the AI boom. But first, an extinction event as great as pandemics and nuclear war. That's the threat tech executives and artificial intelligence scientists are saying AI could pose. A statement released by the Center for AI Safety was signed by more than 350 people, including Sam Altman, chief executive of OpenAI, and Demis Hassabis, the head of Google's DeepMind. The Center for AI Safety said some risks of AI have been discussed publicly, but it wanted to open a dialogue about the more severe risks of AI. This follows another letter released in March by tech leaders that called for a 6-month pause on AI work to set up industry standards. With me to discuss this latest statement and the concerns is our AI reporter, Deepa Seetharaman. Deepa, pandemics, nuclear war, those certainly are extreme risks. Why does this group say AI could reach that level?
What these researchers and thinkers and entrepreneurs are thinking through is the current AI systems have improved so much from what we saw even just a couple of years ago. And so they're extrapolating and saying, you know, in the future, these models could gain capabilities that we are just not imagining yet, and they could be very risky for humanity broadly, including potentially finding the motivation, the will, and the means to destroy people.
Okay, so a little scary. What are they suggesting should be done?
This particular statement is very sparse. It's definitely less than 25 words. It's just asking for this future risk to be taken seriously. I mean, at the moment, there is this feeling that we need to think about what the unintended consequences are for these kinds of systems. You've seen Sam Altman and other executives of these big AI companies come out and seek and ask for regulation from the U.S. government and others. But, you know, at the same time, there are a lot of questions about what the right kind of regulation would be. The companies have one idea of it. Lawmakers have another. And the other thing to remember, too, is nobody actually agrees on whether or not this is a real risk, the extinction risk.
Right. I mean, is this the consensus point of view from the AI sector?
No. When I talk to AI researchers, people who've been in this field for 5, 6, 7 years or longer in many cases, their feeling is that this is a bit more of a fringe view and that there are clear modern day risks that need to be really discussed and tackled. So how could AI systems be deployed in ways that hurt already marginalized people? How do AI systems spread misinformation about health or legal advice or politics or whatever?
All right, that's our AI reporter, Deepa Seetharaman. And on Tuesday, China launched 3 astronauts to the country's space station. But unlike its previous launches, this mission included China's first civilian astronaut. Our reporter Clarence Leung explains why it's a significant moment for the Chinese.
Experts have said that it shows that China is trying to think long-term, that it wants to attract ordinary people like professors or business people to join the space mission, and that in the long run, this will be beneficial because China is also planning many other missions, including the big one, which is it hopes to land astronauts on the moon by 2030.
All right, in a moment, we'll explain the rise of semiconductor maker NVIDIA and what its future could be given the AI boom. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Whether you're selling flaky soap or fine art prints, Shopify covers all your sales channels to simplify selling online and in person. Plus, they provide industry-leading tools and 24/7 support to ignite your growth. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. To sign up, visit shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase.
On Tuesday, chipmaker NVIDIA did something few companies have ever done. It crossed the $1 trillion valuation mark during intraday trading. Its shares shot up more than 24% last week after it released a strong earnings report, and they've continued to climb since. What investors are reacting to is the way the boom in artificial intelligence is translating to record sales for NVIDIA. The semiconductors it makes are essential components to running the complex computational processes that are required by AI. But NVIDIA's rise wasn't always a sure thing. With us to talk about how the company got here is WSJ reporter Asa Fitch, who covers the chips industry. So Asa, a lot of people may have heard of NVIDIA after its share price soared, but can you give us a bit of background on the company? How did it get started?
NVIDIA started in 1993. To make computer graphics better. PCs were becoming more and more common in households, and NVIDIA's pitch was that it was going to make your graphics crisper and make your frame rates faster. In other words, make your video less choppy and things like that. It really appealed to video gamers, to PC gamers in particular, in its early days in the 90s. So that was its bread and butter for many, many years. It kind of changed course in around 2006, when it opened up its chips so that software developers could tinker with them and use them for things other than video gaming. And people started to use them in scientific contexts. People started to use them in, you know, in medical research and other things like that. Eventually, they also started to use them in artificial intelligence and also in cryptocurrency mining and things like that. So the company sort of extended itself in around the 2006-2007 era in a way that kind of set the groundwork for where it is today.
So how did NVIDIA, which is still a leader in making chips for games, become so important to the AI space?
It became really important in AI because of the way these chips work. Effectively, when you're displaying computer graphics, you have to calculate what each pixel is going to look like on your screen at any given time. So you're doing a lot of calculations simultaneously to sort that out. What's that going to look like? And that kind of computation, doing a lot of things at the same time, turns out to be something that's extremely useful when you're doing complex matrix math, essentially, that AI requires, that machine learning requires. So this kind of computation turned out to be really well suited to artificial intelligence.
Let's talk a bit about some of the challenges that NVIDIA has faced recently.
Yeah, NVIDIA has not been immune to its challenges in its recent history. I mean, some of the problems it faced included a big deal it tried to do a couple of years ago during the pandemic. It tried to buy a chip design company called Arm, which is extremely important in the world, especially of mobile phones. There was a lot of opposition from some of NVIDIA's rivals who felt that Arm might be influenced by NVIDIA, not be completely neutral with its other customers. That deal failed, and that was to some degree a setback for the company. Another major challenge that NVIDIA has faced in recent years is the boom and bust cycle around cryptocurrencies. NVIDIA, in addition to being a company that's played into the AI craze, also played into the cryptocurrency craze. Its chips were very good at doing the kinds of calculations you need to mine many popular cryptocurrencies. Some of the ways in which cryptocurrencies are mined have changed, and that in itself has made NVIDIA's chips less useful for those tasks. So there's a possibility that in future crypto booms, assuming one of them happens again, it won't be as affected as it has been in the past by this cyclicality.
NVIDIA is certainly not the only semiconductor maker. It's certainly not the only one who makes chips that are used by AI developers. So can you tell us a little bit about who their main competitors are and how those companies are faring at the moment?
Their main competitors in the AI space are essentially all of the other major chip makers. You have Advanced Micro Devices, which also makes GPUs and is also an extremely big player in video gaming. They have advanced chips that work in data centers and do AI computation, like just like NVIDIA's. So they're starting to mount more of a challenge to NVIDIA. You have incumbents like Intel, which has some AI chips and AI capabilities, some significant ones, actually. And you have all kinds of startups around the world that are trying to make AI chips. And you have, in addition to that, big cloud computing players like Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure and Google Cloud Partners, which are themselves developing their own or have developed their own chips that do AI computation. So there's no shortage of competitors to NVIDIA, but NVIDIA really started to do this before anybody else. And so it has a pretty large head start.
I mean, Asa, despite the demand, the growth that NVIDIA has seen, that demand does seem to be outstripping supply. In fact, some of our colleagues over the weekend wrote about the shortage of chips, and one of their sources compared the hunt for chips for AI to finding toilet paper during an early part of the pandemic. How is NVIDIA dealing with that demand and that shortfall?
Well, NVIDIA said in its earnings last week that it was securing additional supplies of chips in the second half of the year. So they've tried to get more of the chips they need to satisfy that demand. NVIDIA does not actually make its chips. It outsources their production to contract chip makers. So they're reliant on that supply chain to deliver the chips to meet the crazy demand that we're seeing now for its chips because people want to invest in AI. So they're trying to basically just ramp up production as much as they can.
That's WSJ Semiconductors reporter Asa Fitch. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, head over to our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.